This is a Dice World production in association with Pants Pending Studios.
Hi, I'm Ash.
Hi, I'm Steven.
I write fan fiction.
I'm a podcaster and a comedian, and neither of us
have seen a lot of movies, so we decided to get caught up
on our catalog of movies, and while talking about it,
I decided that we should podcast all of it.
And now, 2 years later, we're still at it.
And we're kind of a little bit more professional than ever. He wants to touch the...
Hiney.
And the one that knocks,
that is,
and the one that sends the Power Rangers have to go touch things.
He wants to get vertical on the Limbo Shack.
What the?
She is your soulmate because the Lord has told me.
What? What? He wants to jump through that tent and into the canyon and fly away while holding a ketchup bottle. I don't know how it works.
He wants to Left Eye Lopez for Destiny's Child.
So join us every Monday on iTunes, Stitcher,
or here on the Pants Pending Studios podcast network,
which you can find at pantspending.com.
You are now listening to The Social Hour.
They're not PC, so if occasional foul language turns you off, then you have all been warned. This is the calm before the storm.
Day drunk, which is my best form. Day drunk D's, the triple D.
Get ready for the social hour.
Live from Highway 95 on the way to Sandpoint, Idaho, this is The Social Hour. On today's show, Dace and Traz are headed up to the Sandemonium Festival. And now your host. He wanted to cosplay for the Sandemonium Festival, but he didn't want to be the least sexy Catwoman there. Dees Casillas!
Malib Keen, everyone, welcome to the show. We are on the road. I'm here with Traz. We're driving in the car on our way to Sandpoint, Idaho. Sandemonium going down. It's going to be, we just almost got ran off the road.
Yeah, we're, what's up, everyone? Good to talk to you. Yeah, we're in Rathdrum, Idaho right now. And apparently you can just, like, drive 100 miles an hour in the wrong lane of traffic, have people slam on their brakes, swerve over, just almost cause wrecks right in front of police officers. That's apparently cool.
Yeah, in North Idaho, I'm trying to be as white as possible. I'll just tell everyone I love Whole Foods.
Right? You got your flannel shirt? Check.
Yeah. Or rainbow slippers or sandals. I'm good to go.
Came back from a festival. I look like I do drugs on the reg. So we'll see how it goes up here in North Idaho.
Like, hey, why is the white boy the irresponsible one?
I had to shampoo out my one dreadlock before I came up here.
Looks like you trimmed the back of the mullet a little, too.
Oh, yeah?
Did you?
No, it's just grown. I mean, I got a haircut right before I went out to the festival, okay. So probably, yeah. Told her not to touch the back, but...
Well, we are on our way up to Sandemonium. We're going to do the festival again. We did it last year. It was a good time. We're gonna do this again. So Andrew, you guys all know Andrew Dresden. He's the owner of... President Chief of Pants Pending Network. He asked me the other day, he's like, so are you ready? Are you prepared for your show? You know what you're going to do? And I'm like, I feel like I'm supposed to say yes. But also, I'm 35 and I don't even know what I'm doing with my life yet. So probably not that prepared for this show. I've done 170 episodes of The Social Hour, and I think total combined time I've prepped is probably about 27 minutes.
Right.
I don't do prep. If you don't know me that well, people, I don't prepare a lot. I just kind of wing it. It's how I live my life. It's gotten me this far.
Right. Just going with the flow, like water, my friend.
That's right.
But, yeah, so I guess we'll see how the show goes then.
It'll be fine.
What do you got? What's on the agenda?
Talking. Just start talking. Find out what happens. We'll have an audience, so we'll talk to the audience. You'll hear that.
Oh, also. Social hour first.
Yeah, we're going to have...
we're going to have listeners. All right.
We have a live audience, captive audience in front of us, so that'll be fun. Probably interact with the audience a bit, talk, take some questions. I will let them know I have a new campaign, guys, so I'm going to have to... I'm legally obligated to say this at the beginning and end of every show I do until the lawsuit is settled, but fuck GoDaddy.
Oh, jeez. GoDaddy web hosting?
Oh, my God. It's so... If you've been going to the website and it's been down, I apologize to everyone. It'll be back up soon. But Jesus Christ, dude. That place is... It's been a fucking nightmare dealing with them. But
do they still have Danica Patrick as their spokesperson?
When the lawsuit settled, when the dust is settled, part of the settlement is I want a blowjob from Danica Patrick.
A blowjob?
I want a blowjob from Danica.
That's really reasonable.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, lifelong sex slave, but...
Oh, just a blowjob.
Sick. One and done, huh?
She's, like, 5'1 and bow-legged. I don't want to fuck...
Oh, see, that's a true story, dude. True story.
I've done worse. I'll do worse again, also. Let's be honest. But yeah, fuck GoDaddy. It did inspire a new bit, though. I've got a new bit I've been doing on stage about GoDaddy. I'll probably do it on the show later, on the live podcast. But I just, like, made up all this stuff that I said GoDaddy is responsible for. Like, just have this long list of, like, the smear campaign. Like, they're the reason that they tile out porn, or tile out junk in Asian porn.
Like, those motherfuckers, dude.
Like, there's this...
That shit pisses me off. I fuck you, GoDaddy.
Right?
Because Asian porn, they got all the good hairy porn. If we're keeping it real.
Yeah, you like.
Yeah, I like the hairy porn, but so it's like my most favorite porn is like 50% censored out by the corporate assholes on GoDaddy.
Just go to classic porn. Go for the old school porn. They got Bush and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true, but that's the resolution, man. Kind of kills my boner. I need full 1080.
Plus, Japanese girls are hot. Okay, let's rank... This is going to get real racist real quick.
I already got it in my head.
Let's rank... We're going to rank Asians by hotness. Who takes... Let's...
Easy top three. Podium. Japanese, Thai, and Korean.
Japanese, Thai, Korean. In that order?
Not that order.
What's the order? How do they podium?
Koreans and Thais can really battle it out. Or no, Koreans and Japanese can battle it out fierce.
Okay.
Because it's just like either way, like there's going to be some dimes. So that's my top one and two. Okay. Then number three, Thais. And then after that, I probably just need to go to more Southeast Asian countries so I can really dial this in because I don't know enough to like... Sorry, guys. Sorry, Chinese people. I'd put you at the bottom so far from what I've seen.
I think I have to agree with you. It goes Japanese first for sure for me. And then, yeah, Koreans are quietly really high. I think Koreans don't get their due because usually people just think they're, like, Vietnamese. They don't know the difference.
Right, yeah.
Like, you're probably some sort of Chinese.
Right. You can really dial it in and tell the difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Koreans and girls are hot. And I heard that, you know, North Korea... That was, like, the highest per capita, like, boob job rate.
Oh, from boys. Probably just being lady boys.
No. That just ruined that stat for me. No.
And they also have the highest rate of tuck jobs. Oddly enough.
I was, like, rolling around thinking North Korea was, like, some mecca of titties.
I don't think it is.
well, I mean, good thing we travel banned that place anyways.
I'm getting over the DMZ just to find those titties.
Straight up, man. That's why I thought Dennis Rodman went there.
Just to find, he probably went there for the, he probably went there to get his own tits. yeah, I gotta say, why is that, hold on, are you noticing, look at that Pizza Hut sign. Oh, listeners, you,
yeah, we're
you
driving
have no
through,
context.
Yeah, we're driving through Rathdrum right now, and this is a very distracting, weird city to drive through. It's just a little bit creepy.
Was that Pizza Hut sign weird? That wasn't their normal logo.
No, that was off-brand Pizza Hut with the same name.
Had like an umlaut over the A, over the U in a hut. Where it's like Pizza Hut. And
so like, we saved not a bundle on the franchise.
Just name recognition with a tiny umlaut over the U. Oh, fuck. That's Rathdrum for you. They probably haven't updated since like 1986. It's like their old school logo. I just to keep it in the to go back to our previous conversation, I do want to say Filipino girls can be hot too. They can go like, there's like 25% of them that are gorgeous, and then 75% that you're like, oof.
Right.
Like, you're unfortunate looking.
See, I kind of feel that way about, I don't even want to say it, dude. We're going to get blasted for this episode.
No, but just to, listen, if you are any one of those races, just assume you're one of the hot ones.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and call me.
See, for me, okay, I feel like Russian girls, I feel like 75% of them are just, like, banging hot, but then the 25% of them are just straight up, like, mountain troll women. Sorry.
Here's what it is. Actually, it's funny, because last week at the Riddler, you weren't there. You were at the festival. We'll talk about that in a second, because I want to hear about, we'll tell listeners about the festival. Yeah. But, I was doing a set at the Riddler for the comedy social hour comedy showcase every Sunday at the Riddler, 718 West Riverside Avenue at 8 p.m. Definitely go there. And I said that about, I actually mentioned Filipinos and Russians because they have like hot young girls, but you never see an old hot Russian lady or an old hot Filipino woman. They're hot, and then somewhere around like 27,
yeah,
they turn into Yoda.
Yeah.
Like, literally, have you ever seen an older Russian lady? Like, she's hot.
Is Donald Trump's wife Russian?
No, she's like Eastern European.
Okay. Well, I mean, I haven't specifically noticed that, like, with those two races, but I have noticed that with, like, American women or just women in general or whatever, that there's sort of like, if you are, like, a woman and you make it over 27 and you're still hot, like, you're pretty much going to be good for life. Like, that's, like, where, like, the really hot 50-year-olds and 40-year-olds come in and stuff,
yeah,
like that. It's, like, once you make it over that, like, questionable age hump, then you're good to go. But if you don't make it over that hump, then you're fucked.
The questionable age hump.
Yeah.
That's science right there. The 27-year, that's in textbooks. 27-year questionable age hump. Oh, but for real, like, I lived in Missoula, Montana. In Missoula, Montana, for a while, it's similar to Spokane, where there's a large Russian population. I don't know why they come to the Northwest, but they do.
Just come over from Alaska, straight down Landbridge.
As soon as they get across that Canadian border, they're like, we're good.
Enough.
I think we're in America. And that wasn't even a Russian accent. That was like some ambiguous James Bond villain accent. And I've seen a lot of hot, young Russian girls, right?
For sure.
But then,
God, I'm so sorry to everybody out there. This is by far our most misogynistic episode. And honestly, Deese and I are both like, we're brothers of the world. We love all races and creeds equally. We're just like dialing it in a little bit, like helping us figure out where to plan our next vacation.
Yeah. So tell us where the hot women are at.
Yeah.
I never see any, like, any of the hot Russian girls I've met. I never see any of their moms. I've been like, God, your mom's banging. Their mom's always gross.
It's like a mystery. Their mom's always a mystery woman. You don't really see her that much. She doesn't really go out anymore.
She's like a gypsy with like a veil over her face.
She's like broken inside. She's like, I used to be hot.
She's like the neighbor on Home Improvement. The guy who just sat on the other side of the fence. And all right. You could see is just, he had like his eyes and she just wore a hat. And said fence over his face. What was his name?
Schmidt's Pasture. What was that guy? Neighbors. You know, it was a good neighbor.
A good neighbor.
Hi-ho, good neighbor.
Oh, man. So, once you've heard this, we've been at the festival by the time you hear this, but the festival is always a good time, man. Trez wasn't quite with the show yet when we went last year, but I got to go last year, and holy shit, it is an adventure. It's like some sort of sci-fi comedy nerd hole. Which way do I go?
Take a left up here.
I don't know where to go. Oh, 95, got it. convention thing, and there's like cosplay, so like hot girls in weird outfits.
Tight.
Yeah. No Chinese girls, which is great. Just kidding. Just kidding. I really want a beer right now, dude. It's like 11 a.m. and I want to. It's not even that.
This is what happens when you wake us up extra early.
It's 9:45. Listen, I realized the other day I have what is known, what my friends call a playful alcohol addiction. And
it's like really cute alcoholism. Yeah,
what physicians call an actual alcohol addiction.
Your friends are a little cheesier with their words.
Yeah, I actually had this moment the other day. It was like 11:45, and I was stopping in place having lunch on our way to the lake, and a friend of mine. I ran to a friend and I'm like, God, hey, what's up, man? I saw you last night. How drunk were you last night? And I'm just like, I probably shouldn't tell them how drunk I am right now. Because I'm sensing a lot of judgment about last night already.
Right.
And it's like not even noon and I am a little tipsy.
Damn. So, carried it through the next day.
I just got up and started drinking.
Play through, brother.
Yeah. Just keep it rocking.
Nice. This last week?
Yeah. But summertime, I get loose in the summer.
Yeah.
I get real loose. Come fall and winter, I get back into suits and ties and a legitimate businessman. That's not true.
Legitimate businessman?
I mean, businessman. I don't know if legitimate is accurate, but I do stuff. I do business stuff. This festival is just insane. I get to judge the costume contest again. So
that's official judge position.
Yeah, official judge position.
Yeah, also, how do you what do you base your criteria on?
The cleavage. Mostly cleavage.
See, so you said cleavage, I thought you were gonna say cleverness.
That's
cleverness in their outfit, right on.
No, because, I mean, there's, like, kids and stuff, so there's not always cleavage. there's, like, kids that do this. But it's fun. No, it just, if they made it themselves, how much of it they actually made themselves? Because a lot of it, they actually, like, really cut and sew their own material, and it's
I just show up in a Darth Vader outfit I got from Walmart.
I want to do
first
that
prize
and then tell everyone I made it myself. Like have the tag hanging out that still says made in China, or like be holding the package I bought it in.
That'd be awesome.
Like no, I made this myself.
So yeah, I worked on the helmet for like 30 hours, just like really dialed it in, you'd say.
It's it'll be a good time though. So I've done live shows of the podcast before, and you know obviously I do stand up, and I've done improv and stuff. But I love the live podcast because it's fun. It's interactive. I like having the crowd there, and you can talk to them and play off of them. It's really really entertaining, you know, because stand up's a one way narrative. You're not supposed to interact. Crowd talks, that's being disruptive. With the podcast, getting them involved, it's a lot of fun.
How do you get the crowd involved with podcasts?
You just start talking to them. You start asking.
Show me your titties. Yeah.
Like, I'm seven. Oh, don't show me.
Don't. I'll start to your mom.
Yeah.
Fucker, way to intercept that, you little shit. Now I look like a weirdo.
Yeah. Dude, we are in North Idaho. They'll be like, my mom's 17. You're like, ah, shit. Your grandma! She's gonna be over 18.
She's 34.
Yeah.
Nice.
Alright, cool. Yeah, I'm into that. Like I said, Traz just got back from a festival. He's been on the road for a week.
Yeah. It was the Oregon Eclipse Festival. Not just any festival. It was like the fucking festival. The best festival I've ever been to, for sure.
So, give our listeners a peek into behind the curtain. Much as you want to tackle. I heard a lot about it earlier, but I don't know much you want to let everyone else know about.
Yeah, this totally is being recorded. I've already got some apologies to issue for past episodes. I thought about that while I was there. Yeah, dude, I was like, fuck. So of course here we are, starting off our new post-eclipse festival podcast series by being misogynistic. So I guess we'll just start off talking about titties. There are so many titties there. This festival is an amazing expression of like human, of just free. It's an amazing pot of like human expression. Just like people being free, doing whatever they want, dressing up as themselves, being themselves, like just raging, expressing themselves. And some people like to express themselves naked, and I thought that was awesome. So there's mad titties out. There's seven stages of just the most incredible world electronic dance.
Sounds like some terrible disease. I got mad titty disease.
Mad titty disease. Yeah, dude. Seven stages of just incredible music, world EDM music. The most phenomenally talented artists from all over the world were there, putting on like free live painting shows. And, whole thing was interactive. There's all these like art stages that you can climb up on and interact with, sit around, smoke weed with your friends, whatever you do. Just rage and party for 7 days, all night long, all day long. Like, there's a lake there, so that was pretty awesome.
Wait, there's a lake?
Yeah.
Did you swim in it?
Yeah.
Were there tiger muskies?
No tiger muskies. It was a man-made lake. Sorry if I just killed audio. Yeah, this is a man-made lake, but there was, like, all kinds of, like, just floating rafts, like, this floating carousel thing that you could go out on, like, water slides into it, stages on the lake, like, there's a steamboat stage that had, like, all these, like, theatrical productions, and, like, it was music and entertainment, but it was, like, sort of, like, burlesque style, at this one particular steamboat stage. It just worked out perfectly. It seemed so perfect.
This guy has a sofa ahead of us in a trailer.
And a fuck ton of deer horns.
Like, I feel like that's...
like, way too many. I mean, we are in Idaho.
Random shit.
Standard.
He's moving his whole house.
Picking his nose, driving.
Probably.
He's literally picking his nose.
Sorry. So the burlesque show festival.
Right. Yeah, just like all these incredible stages. I got to be with the most incredible people. I met up with a huge group of my friends from all over, from Denver, from Portland, from Bellingham, from Spokane, from Colville, from fuck, everywhere. I don't know. It's a free-for-all out there. Like, just all the drugs are flying. You get drunk, like, right when you wake up. Do a bunch of cocaine, like, on the center stage. Like, nobody says anything. There's people doing it and stuff just randomly, like, around the lake. And,
yeah. Not you, though.
No, not me. I was respectful. I did it, but I did it in a tent. I wasn't that respectful. But I did do it in a tent. Man, what else happened? Just got to meet people from all over the world. Everybody's on the same tip. Everybody's just super conscious and there to vibe out. Oh, the solar eclipse. Holy shit.
Whole reason the festival happened.
Yeah, and that's really the whole reason I went down there, people, is to check out the solar eclipse and see totality. Because for people that don't know, the way solar eclipses work is, like, you can kind of catch them from, like, a lot of different spots on the Earth, but there's, like, one thin band of, like, 70 miles where it's, like, the path of totality, and that's where it's, like, you get the most craziest special effects. Like, there's, like, this minute where the moon is perfectly in front of the sun, and you can, like, take your eclipse glasses off and look at it. I mean, basically what I'm getting at is everybody that's listening to this, you have to catch a solar eclipse in your life, a total solar eclipse in the path of totality.
When is
like, it's that phenomenal.
When is the next one? Like 50 years from now?
No, so they kind of happen like fairly frequently, like every like 3 years, 18 months kind of thing.
Wait, really?
But it's just in all different spots of the world. And not every eclipse is a perfect total solar eclipse. There's ones called annular, which is where
you gotta buy him a couple drinks and talk him into it to do annular. That's just for anniversaries. To do the annular solar eclipse.
Real special occasion. But the next one that we're going to is it's in 2020 in South America, like in Patagonia. It's gonna be summertime down there in December 2020. So I hope you can come.
Nice. I love anywhere south of America
and
South Central America. Let's do it. Okay, love it. I don't know if I can say. I think I would die at a festival for sure.
Yeah, that happens.
Did anyone die?
I don't know. I saw two people get airlifted out of there. So, and I saw a guy have a seizure. But here's the thing, you guys. You're out there at a festival. It's like high desert. You're in the sunshine for a week. Like, you're already going to be dehydrated just living your life. Then you're adding in a fuck ton of booze and molly, cocaine, fucking every drug's out there. And it's like that stuff dehydrates you. You really got to be conscious of staying hydrated.
Yeah, I know. You know, that's one thing I know about heavy drug users, though. They're very responsible. So... definitely conscious.
Very conscious.
Let's see. Yeah.
So why would you die?
Oh, because I'm not responsible at all.
Okay.
I'd be like, yeah, more cocaine for the fourth day in a row.
Right, it's just leaving Las Vegas.
Right, I just forget about food and water.
Yeah.
I'd just be drinking booze. Like, my kidneys would just shut down.
That's kind of where, I mean, that kind of happened to me a little bit, not bad, but I woke up one morning all, like, hydrated after, like, drinking and stuff, but, like, staying really hydrated, and my buddy, I was like, dude, I feel great. My buddy's like, I feel like a dry sponge. And I was like, oh, haha, that sucks. Next morning, fucking, I knew exactly what he felt like. Like, you wake up, you're like, your throat's closed up, like, your brain just feels like it's just, like, swollen inside your head, and he's, yeah. So drink water, hydrate or die.
Hydrate. Just drink water, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You can do all the drugs you want as long as you have some water.
That's pretty much the advice I'm giving to our listeners.
All right, so that was the festival.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I could probably go into like a bunch of crazy details, but I mean, you guys, it just wouldn't even make sense. Like, it's just so wild. There's so many. It's an adult playground. Like, there's everything that you could ever want to do, all available to you 24/7 whenever you want it.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Well, you're at the festival. I've just been working, trying to get ready for this festival that there will not be drugs at.
Yeah, right. I don't want to say that I have drugs in Idaho, but I am bringing some drugs to this festival. Just joking, Sandemonium promoters.
Oh, also, as you hear this, guys, we do finally have hard copies of Spokane Comedy's first mixtape album. I just finalized a couple ones last night. Some beta copies. I'll be getting some, more professional versions soon, but I've got some beta copies rocking.
The mixtape that we did a couple weeks ago?
Mixtape
at the Spokane Comedy mixtape,
the one at the Bartlett,
yeah, exactly,
yeah, from like March.
That was in March. Holy shit, dude, I thought it was just a couple weeks ago.
it is as we record this, August 26th. So just to reiterate, Traz did no drugs at the festival. In front of people or on stage.
No, that was just a joke. That was part of my bit.
So yeah, that was back in like March we did that. Or was it May? See, I don't even know. I drink too much.
Damn.
But it's been months. It's been a couple months. But I finally have copies of it. I'm going to try and slang a few up here. It sounds good. We're looking at doing another one. So we're going to do a second one soon, so keep your eyes peeled for that. It'll be fun. Fuck, dude, I've just been busy as shit. I need an assistant. And just someone to, like, I need to hire someone just to beat off for me. And not jerk me off. Just someone to, like, jerk off spiritually for me and be like, I beat off. I'd be like, okay, just tell me how good it was.
Is this like a paid position, Deez? Because I might know a guy.
It's potentially paid. It's an unpaid internship to start, but depending on how it goes, we can work on it. It's like cosmically, I just need to know that someone is able to pleasure themselves, because like I don't even have the time for it.
That's horrible, man.
It is horrible.
You don't think you could like squeeze one off at the furniture store?
I probably could, but you know, it's bad form in front of customers.
Well, I mean, it's kind of their fault for putting all those couches and beds everywhere.
And I try not to beat off while I drive anymore, just because it's dangerous. Listen, you're not allowed to, in Washington State, you're not allowed to use your cell phone or eat while you drive. I think masturbating and driving is probably illegal, although maybe they didn't put it in the books.
Right.
Your Honor, nowhere specifically in the law to say I cannot masturbate and drive. It's like those movies like Air Bud. Like the dog where the dog plays basketball, they're like, nowhere in the rule book it says a dog can't play point guard. Let him play. That weird loophole. Like, did we have to put that in the rule? Do we have to put it in the rule book?
I mean, it's against distracted driving, and some could argue that beating off like really helps them get in the zone.
That's right. That's just how I
focus.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, these they have like the
do you think that crazy driver from Rapture was beat up?
Probably. All right, you know, I don't feel so bad anymore. They have like these comfort animals. That sounds bad. That sounds like comfort women from World War II, where you have to bang. They're not those banging animals. Well, people probably are, but that's not what I'm talking about. Somewhere, someone's banging an animal right now. But they have like the what are they called? The animals, like your dog, is like a stress relief dog or comfort. Emotional support animals.
There we go.
So they have emotional support animals, and people can like take them on planes now and shit, which is bullshit. I hate it. It helps with my anxiety. Like, you're on a plane, everyone gets anxious when you fly. It's like, guess what? Fucking beating off makes me less anxious. Do I get a fucking jerk off in bro 18A?
Right.
Because it makes me less anxious. Like, how far down the rabbit hole are we getting with
this? I want an octopus emotional service animal, just like in a fucking glass jar. I'm like, no, sir, you can't sit here.
Yeah.
This is for my octopus.
Right.
My doctor.
This is Ahab, my octopus Ahab. This is my emotions. I feel just nervous without him. He knows how to calm me down.
He just like reaches out of his jar and puts his little tentacle on me. I'm like, see?
He knows what's up. He changes color when I'm feeling stressed. Yeah, there was actually a...
I agree with you, dude. Where do you draw the line, you know?
There was someone who had an emotional support pig over their shoulder on a flight, like carrying it down. Dude, take a Xanax and have
a
cocktail.
Ride.
Yeah. Literally.
He's like, I only feel as calm if I'm literally acting out metaphors.
what happened to, you know, being, you know, relaxing like an adult by drinking irresponsibly? And just drinking too much, and then you get on a plane. That's fine. That's why they have booze, and they serve booze.
Right, that's what the whole movie Cocktail was about, I think.
Like, literally about just that. We're too far out of the barn, though, right? The horse is too far out of the barn. We can't reel this one back in.
Right. Well, yeah. So I'm kind of torn, you know. I support it in some ways because I just support freedom. I think that people, but like, you shouldn't have to lie. Like, oh, I got anxiety. I need to have my pig on this airplane. We should just be able to have pigs on the airplane.
You know, but freedom, you can bring a pig on an airplane if you want to charter a NetJet. But if I paid for a seat next to you, I don't want your fucking pig.
Right.
So,
well, I mean, there should be like people only airlines, and then there should be kind of just like loosey goosey Southwest Airlines, everything goes. Like, if you want to go on your non-smoking air flight, you should have a non-smoking one. But if you want to be on, like, the party mobile where everyone's getting drunk, smoking cocaine, weed. Mile High Club,
sure.
That should be a thing.
International skies, man. You go up in there and anything happens.
Right. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
Why isn't there fucking casinos and shit on airplanes? That just blew my mind.
There probably are in, like, Dubai.
There should be. Like, double-deckers and stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Actually, they do. There are airplanes like the jumbo, what's that one called? That one
Airbus?
Airbus ones. They have actually ones where there's casinos on upper levels. That is a thing.
That just restored my faith a little bit. But they're probably assholes about smoking and cocaine, drug trafficking.
Know. I mean, drug trafficking. I mean, the drug trafficking, maybe. I'd like to check this kilo of cocaine. I don't plan on trafficking.
This is all for personal use.
Yeah, I'm going to do it all.
With all you guys. Chill the fuck right. out. Feeling hella generous today.
That's right. Oh, my God. All right. Well.
So, I do support it because I want everybody to be free. And, like, if you want to bring your dog to Toys R Us, you should be able to do that. If everybody else is cool. But, people really take advantage of it. It's like whenever I see a lady with an emotional stress dog, I'm like, bitch, you're just an old-ass single woman. That's your fucking problem.
The thing is, I understand.
Just like a Janet or a Susan, you know what I mean?
Like, you like your dog, but not everyone else likes your dog. I don't like it. Here's my thing. Like, I don't give a shit what people do as long as it doesn't infringe on my life. The moment it starts impeding on other people's lives is when I'm like, that's why you need to stop doing that.
Like on Joe Dirt when that lady's dog's humping little baby Joe Dirt and she's like, he'll stop when he's finished.
Stop when he's finished. Yeah.
That's like the whole principle of like libertarianism and like a constitutional republic is it's like you're supposed to be free to do whatever you want as long as it's not impeding in somebody else's life.
And I 100% believe in that. Even little things. Like, I was at the grocery store a while back, and there was some guy in front of me just blaring this, like, egregiously annoying rock music on his cell phone and just holding it up. No headphones, no anything. Just holding it in line and forcing everyone to listen to this shitty music they don't want to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that. Like, I don't care. I don't like that music. I'm not going to make you not listen to it, but don't make... Look at Baldi. Oh, no, what's it called?
Osprey?
Osprey, yeah. Sorry, we're just looking at nature. Don't make everyone else listen to it, though. That's where it's a problem. When you're forcing everyone else to do something they don't want to do, you're an asshole, you know? At that point, you're just self-centered.
Craving attention.
Right. Everything's about you. You give a shit less about anything anyone else.
Because we do have things like headphones and stuff, you know?
Right. And they're, like, essentially free.
Right.
You can get a pair of earbuds for free, and they give you, like, a...
Six like, songs a, like, to download.
Right. With, like, an Apple Fritter, too. Like, here, take this Apple Fritter and these earbuds. And, it's... Don't force me to listen to your anything. But other than that, do whatever the fuck you want.
That's true. You know, so pretty much the only law that I would support is against people with annoying-ass fucking loud cars and motorcycles and shit. That drives me crazy.
Well, again, that is impeding on other people's lives.
Right.
So that's why I agree with you. Like, the people who get motorcycles and then take their, you know, take the bafflers off of it and throw revs as they go down... And send off car alarms and shit. Yeah. It's like you just want attention, you dick. We get it. You have a motorcycle, you're cool. You're living the lifestyle. You got a bandana and leather on. Like, you wear it everywhere you go.
That's you, bro. You're a fucking motorcycle guy. Cool.
Yeah.
Just do that, but more quiet, please. Shit's annoying.
Yeah, I don't want any of that in my world. Basically, I just want to live alone in a desert.
So how do you feel about smells, you know? Because, so here's an interesting thing. People are, like, trying to grow marijuana on land that's legally theirs. Like out in like Cheney area and stuff like that is where I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Some asshole neighbors are like, we don't want you guys growing marijuana because we can smell the crops.
Yeah, that's a tricky one because it is your property.
And before we just get all crazy on marijuana, I just want to say that cow farms and stuff smell like shit.
Yep. Yes.
Tomato farms smell like tomatoes.
Yeah.
Like.
No, I agree. There's a place in Norco, California, which is not too far from LA, all things considered. But it's a lot of cow pastures still, like farm kind of, which is weird. You don't think of LA, but it's outside of LA and lots of farmland. And it's, smells like shit out there. Just all cow pastures. Like literally it just smells terrible. Worse than LA smells even. Which is hard to do. So
they really dialed it in.
Right. Really nailed that scent. I think there should be a regulation of distance of your I don't want to say just crop because your crop, farm, whatever, whatever makes the smell, whether it's cows or weed or tomatoes, you know, your product, okay? There should be a regulation of distance from any other residency and as some sort of, like, fail-safe. So, like, basically, don't butt it up against the property of someone else.
Right. But, well, that's still too impossible because, like, a cow pasture smell, like, wafts for miles and miles. Yeah. And the reason I got that on my mind is my ex-family-in-law lived down in Arizona in Gilbert in, like, a beautiful neighborhood with, like, million-dollar houses everywhere. But every once in a while, it just smelled like shit. And then, like, I brought it up to them, and they're like, well, we kind of, you know, we moved here knowing that there's, like, a shitty smell in the air sometimes, so it's, like, kind of on us. And I was like, I agree completely. But I also, you know, like, if they happen to live there and the farmer didn't have a cow farm but then just changed his mind and was like, I don't want to grow potatoes anymore, I want to start doing cows, I think he should have the right to do that.
Yeah. If
Arizona changed the laws and made weed legal, and he's like, fuck cows, dude, I'm doing all weed. And then if all the people in that neighborhood wanted to be like, oh, no, we were fine with the cow smell, but fuck marijuana, like, they could do that. And then it's like, dude, come on, man. This guy's just trying to make a living, trying to, like, use his property responsibly.
I agree to a point. I still think there should be some sort of, you know, like, you can only have your hedges so high if they're up to neighbors off their, like, because of if they're on the, with the neighbor's property, right?
Right.
So, because it impedes on that neighbor also.
Right.
Having your hedges, like, too high. I agree, it's your land, you should be able to do mostly what you want with it, but there should be some sort of regulation of, like, you know, have some courtesy, and, you know, it's not going to be 100%, no smell, etc., that's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah, I think there has to be some kind of common courtesy thing, you know what I mean? Like, it should just, it's hard because we live in a world where it has to be, like, actual written down legislation, you know, which is very... It puts everything into a basket of either it fits in the legislation or it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so that's really problematic. Yeah. But yeah, some kind of like common courtesy thing, you know? It's like, dude, come on. This guy's growing 500 acres of marijuana. It's like fucking putting our city on the map. Shut up, bitch. Like, weed smells good anyways. Like, shut up, fucking Susan. You know that you're just saying that because you're religious anyways.
Right.
So it should be kind of based on that. Whereas, like... You know, if that guy was like, oh, you know, I decided to put a dump on my property, then it's like, okay, dude, that literally actually smells like shit and garbage. I think we can all agree shit and garbage is, like, a pretty universally not pleasant. Yeah.
If people had more of a common... So, back in the day, people used to have a handshake and be gentlemen, and that's all you needed. Mm-hmm. And if... there was a dispute, you duel to the death. Yeah, things got fixed.
Right.
But, like, so I've gone places where you're supposed to sign, like, a waiver so you don't get injured or something, you know, if something gets injured. And I've literally refused to sign them before. I'm like, listen, I'm a fucking adult. I'm taking responsibility. I'm going to go in there. And if something happens to me, that's on me. Like, I'm not fucking going to sue you. Like, don't, I'm not fucking signing your stupid paperwork, I'm telling you, and that should be good enough, and I won't fucking sign, I'm not signing shit.
The story's similar to how Dee's got kicked out of Walmart.
Also that. So.
That's cool, I'm gonna try that sometimes.
Yeah, because I'm just like, listen, I'm not gonna sue you.
I promise.
I am an adult. I have a friend whose wife has had multiple lawsuits she's done against people because she's, like, slipped and fell in a grocery store and sued them and got money. I'm like, I don't have that. I wish I had. I am, like, secretly jealous of those people. Part of me is secretly jealous because I don't have an 1% of that personality trait where if I slipped and hurt myself in a grocery store, I would never sue them. Like, if one of their, if the CEO of Safeway came, while I was in the fruit section, came rappelling down and kicked me in the face and stabbed me with a rusty coat hanger, yeah, I might have a lawsuit then. But if I just slip accidentally, that's on me. I'm an adult. I'm responsible for my own faculties around me and what's happening.
Right. Like, pay attention. Look out for water and ice on the roadways.
Yes.
And in front of you where you're walking. Watch out for overhanging objects that might whack you on the head.
Right.
You know, no, stuff like that.
No one's willing to take responsibility for their own shit anymore. And they want to blame someone else.
Well, to me, those people aren't really blaming somebody else. They just see it as, like, a paycheck.
Well, that,
they're like, I know that I live in America in 2017 and I can sue people for petty shit.
Yeah.
And it's like they have enough time and fucking pettiness in their heart to do it.
Yeah. I wish I had... I hate them and I'm secretly jealous all at once. And this guy, weird guy, there's a guy on a giant tricycle.
He's like, that looks creepy.
Yeah, it looks like Father Time.
It was like Father Time mixed with Stephen King's It without makeup. Yeah. Just ride this fucking tricycle, 70-year-old man on a tricycle.
It was like Father Time's, like, molesty uncle.
Straight up, wearing sweatpants. loose, baggy-ass, gross sweatpants.
All right. Well, we are almost to Sandpoint, so we are going to go to a commercial break. And we'll be back. We're going to talk to some people at the festival and chat it up, and yeah, we'll be back with some interviews from some people half naked in costumes and weird nerds and stuff.
Sweet.
All right, we'll see you guys soon.
All right, guys, and that is the show. Sadly, Sandemonium happened. Well, that wasn't the sad part. That was actually a lot of fun. Thank you to Sandemonium Festival for having Pants Pending. And of course, the Social Hour. Again, it was a fantastic festival. Thanks to everyone who was there. But sadly, we lost a shit ton of audio that day. We did a live show, which was a lot of fun. It was me, Traz, Burr Martin from the Burr Martin Experience on Pants Pending, and also Will Gilman, host of The Hustle, also on Pants Pending. Shameless plugs. You know how it goes. We had a great live show, but sadly the audio has been lost. So if you weren't there, you won't know the majesty that was that show. It was a lot of fun. The whole festival was great. Traz and I had a lot of good times. I did some improv for the first time in a while. That was a nightmare. It was fun. It made me miss it. I realized I missed doing that. But it was a great festival, guys. Mark your calendar next year. I don't know when it is. It's the end of July every year. Or August, the end of August, Sandemonium. It's a good time. Plus Sandpoint is awesome. So I look forward to it every year. It's a good time. I don't get to see the other people in the network that often, not a ton of crossover. We're just all way too fucking busy for anything. But we try. So guys, thank you for hanging out. That's all for me. That's all for this episode. I'm going to get out of here because I've just been way backed up doing things. But listen, here's what's up. By the time you hear this, it's been a couple weeks since Sandemonium. And I'm going to be on this Saturday. I'm going to be at Avista Stadium here in Spokane, doing the beer festival, drinking beer. So come buy me a beer. I'll buy you a beer. I'm going to be interviewing and talking to people too. So that'll be fun. And every Sunday we have the Riddler Comedy Showcase, of course, that is at the 718 West Riverside Avenue. That is the Piano Bar. We brought back Comedy Confessions last week. It's going to be good. All sorts of stuff, man. So, yeah, you'll hear more later. I'm going to get out of here, guys. For the social hour, the whole crew, Pants Penny and everyone, thank you very much. I am Deese, and we will see you next week.
This podcast is a Pants Pending Studios production.
And part of the Pants Pending Studios podcast network.
Find more of our great shows just by searching Pants Pending in your podcatcher.
For more information or to contact us directly, visit us at pantspending.com.
Please subscribe to this show, share it with your friends, like it on Facebook, and rate it on iTunes.
And we thank you for making us a part of your listening day.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending.
Pants Pending. Studios!